Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In the small catechism, we learn that baptizing with water indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. That seems to be an especially violent image, particularly if we're teaching it to our children. But it must be so. The old Adam, that is our sinful flesh, must meet a violent end because the flesh itself is violently wicked. And so we heard, as St. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of angers, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. The works of the flesh are evident, and evidently they are evil. And yet, apart from God's word, which clearly states that every single person's nature is corrupted from the beginning, sinners have no idea just how evil they are and how wicked their actions are. If you don't believe me, just try it out this week. Tell your unbelieving friend or your unbelieving coworkers that they are wicked, that they are evil, and they will protest, they will object. In fact, they'll probably be offended that you even asked such a thing. For most people don't engage in things like sorcery or orgies. Good citizens, even the unbelieving, don't do that kind of thing. And yet, see how St. Paul includes these terrible sins with the more mundane sins that most sinners, even we ourselves, sometimes overlook or pass off with a shrug. Sensuality, that is, desire for even a moment for the movie star, the supermodel, or the girl next door. Jealousy, maybe when your coworker gets the promotion that you thought you deserved. Fits of anger, when you get cut off in traffic, or maybe your team loses the big game. Rivalries with your siblings who seem to get everything handed to them on a silver platter. Divisions, we know that very well in the church. And so on and so forth. No, there's no one, not a single person who has completely avoided these sins listed by St. Paul in Galatians chapter 5. And yet again, those who do not regularly confess their sins to God the Father will almost certainly shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, but I'm still basically a good person. And they can do this because apart from God's word, no sinner is able to grasp just how wicked, just how depraved, just how fallen he really is. This is one reason why leprosy is often used as an analogy or image for sin in the scriptures. As you may remember, leprosy is a disease of the skin which causes sores on the flesh and severe disfigurement. But leprosy is also responsible for terrible nerve damage. In other words, the one who suffers from leprosy cannot actually sense or feel how badly he is suffering. He cannot feel the pain of his disease, and therefore he cannot feel the damage and the danger that is caused by this disease. So it is for the sinner apart from God's word. The sinner cannot feel his own fleshly wickedness. He cannot sense the depths of his depravity. And all of this because he is a sinner. Only God's word, the word of the law, can bring this sin to light. Only God's word can bring the sinner to lift up his voice in repentance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. But for the sinner, it is as David wrote in Psalm 32, which we ourselves heard last week, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Jesus hears the repentant cry of the sinner. Jesus has mercy on lepers, both physical and spiritual, who would lift up their voices to him. Jesus promises to forgive the iniquity of all who confess their sins and transgressions. And that is why we are bold and confident to draw near to him with a true heart and confess our sins. We do so because God has revealed himself to us as the gracious and merciful Lord, present in this place to forgive. When we gather here in contrition, God doesn't shoo us away with contempt, or worse yet, annihilate us in his wrath. No, as we sing, Jesus sinners doth receive, Jesus lepers doth receive. And sinners and lepers alike are purified by him, really and truly cleansed. Lepers purified in the flesh, sinners purified in their consciences. And this is because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Yes, that brief phrase that begins our gospel lesson today is not irrelevant. It's not just a bit of history or background to what took place. Rather, it is foundational, not just to this text, the cleansing of the 10 lepers, but rather foundational to the cleansing that Jesus affords to our consciences, which Christ has worked in you through the waters of holy baptism and ever since through his word and sacrament. It is foundational for that cleansing because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die for you and for the sins of the whole world. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 9, we read, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so from that point forward in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, his face set to that holy city. Set, in fact, to that holy day, Good Friday, to his death on the cross. And in fact, in the very next chapter after today's lesson, in Luke 18, Jesus would remind his 12 disciples, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. This then, the killing of Jesus in Jerusalem, is the foundation for all works of cleansing wrought by our Lord. The 10 lepers were cleansed as they went to show themselves to the priests. You have been cleansed in holy baptism, your sins washed away. You are daily and richly forgiven all your sins, and you will rest in your Savior's arms when you die and rise in your body on the last day, all because Jesus made his way to Jerusalem to die for you. And not just for you, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, of course, our gospel lesson doesn't end there, with the 10 lepers being cleansed as they went to show themselves to the priests. So also that explanation in the small catechism doesn't end with the old Adam drowned and dead with all sins and evil desires. Now that's important, yes, but there's more. The catechism goes on, you remember, a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Likewise, Jesus said to the Samaritan leper, rise and go your way, your faith has saved you. Now remember, in the gospel lesson, all 10 lepers were cleansed on their way to the priests. All 10 received the mercy for which they asked from Jesus. All 10 asked in faith based on the word they had heard about Jesus. All 10 went forth in faith, going to show themselves to the priests at Jesus' word before they had been cleansed. But only one, at least as we hear in this lesson, only one continued in that faith. Now, we don't know exactly what happened to the other 9 lepers. Presumably, they went back to lead normal, happy lives, restored their families, communities, and synagogues, hopefully in Christian faith at some point, recognizing Jesus had done this for them. But at least in this lesson, at least in the moment, Jesus is disappointed, if not out and out angry, at their absence, saying, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Yes, the 9 received the mercy for which they asked, even in which they had believed. But that was it. So when Jesus did his part, when he healed them from leprosy like they had asked, they went their way. presumably not to return. The one Samaritan leper, however, continued in faith. We can even say that he grew in his faith. With the other nine lepers, he called upon Jesus to have mercy on his diseased body. But by the time he was cleansed, he confessed a faith in Jesus that went far beyond seeing Jesus as some miracle worker. Rather, he confessed that Jesus Christ is God Almighty himself. For when the Samaritan saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And so you see, with his voice, he praised God. With his body, he worshiped Jesus. And thus, in voice and body, he confessed Jesus to be God, worshiping him as God. He offered that great confession, Jesus Christ is Lord. And about this faith, Jesus said, your faith has saved you. The Samaritan's cleansing meant the beginning of the new life of faith in Christ. And so it is for you in your baptism. Baptism truly works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Baptism truly is a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. And this new birth means new life going forward. And yet, sadly, we know there are many who have been baptized, who have followed the example of the nine lepers, who went on their way, cleansed but unchanged. Now, with this, not only refer to those who do not return to give praise to God in his holy house, although that too is evidence of a deficient faith, but rather this also refers to those who would continue to gratify the desires of the flesh, the works of the flesh as recorded by St. Paul and named earlier, continuing to indulge without repentance such things as lustful thoughts, jealousy, envy, rivalry, division. As St. Paul warned the Galatians before, so now he warns us in God's holy word, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, believe this word of the Lord. You have been cleansed from fleshly sinful works, really and truly purified, just as those 10 lepers were really and truly healed from their leprosy. And in fact, you have a greater and more thorough purification. For again, they were only purified in their flesh, whereas the blood of Christ has purified your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Your sins and transgressions, whether they were as mundane as envy or as severe as sorcery and idolatry, they have been forgiven, absolved, removed as far from you as the east is from the west. In baptism, you were claimed to be Christ's own, and therefore you who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And now hear this word of the Lord, you who have been baptized. Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you. For baptizing with water indicates that the new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That is, the new man in you is to emerge and arise to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, as Paul tells us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Seek and desire such things, for you are a new creation in Christ. Yes, seek and desire such things, for the new man lives in you. Just as we prayed in Psalm 119 earlier this morning, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the confession of faith of one who has been purified by the word of God and now walks in newness of life. It confesses the same faith that was evident in the Samaritan who returned to Jesus after he was cleansed, returned to praise and thanks and give thanks to God in flesh in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, does this mean that the Christian no longer falls into sin? That the Christian never commits works of the flesh? Of course not. For we likewise confess in the Catechism that we daily sin much. The Word of God tells us that if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His Word is not in us. And so we do remain sinners in the flesh, in this earthly life, just like that Samaritan remained a Samaritan, a Gentile, unclean by blood according to the law of Moses, though he had been purified from his leprosy. And yet, note that the Samaritan did not remain in his leper's rags upon being cleansed, nor was he defined by his Gentile or Samaritan state. Instead, Jesus calls him and defines him by his faith, which according to Christ our Lord himself saved him. And so it is with you. You no longer remain in your former works of the flesh, nor do those former sins define you, whatever they may have been. Instead, you have been defined by Christ as faithful. And this faith, according to God himself through the Apostle Paul, saves you. For Paul once wrote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created by Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So again, we ask, as the Catechism does, what does baptizing with such water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Again, dear Christians, you have been purified with a greater purification than those 9 lepers received from Jesus long ago. For you have been purified in your conscience by Christ from dead works. And this you have received through faith alone, just like that one Samaritan leper. Rise and go your way, therefore. Live this new life that has been given to you by grace alone apart from works, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. For through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, who died and rose again, you are saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.